Good evening. Hope you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 6. I titled the lesson, We Can't Judge. Really? I did that. You know, I've taught on this before, and, you know, it never amazes me that no matter how many times you teach on something, people still come to some of the same old conclusions, and this section right here and some of the early teachings of Jesus are probably some of the most misapplied verses that is used. And people come up with all the time saying, you know, you can't judge others. And that's not true. And that's not what these verses say. And we're going to see that as we go through this. We need to understand a little better how God operates and what He's doing so you and I can properly understand what He's doing back to us. He begins in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. He says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." Well, that's what it sounds like. Do not judge. Can't judge others. Well, he makes a statement. The very first word of the next verse, the word "for," that's a major word. It's an explanation of the statement that's just made. Many times in New Testament scriptures especially, you'll see statements made and then it'll immediately be followed up with "for," to explain what is meant. And so he brings up this idea, do not judge that you will not be judged. Now, one side note, when we're talking about the judging here, we're talking about people that hold court on others and they reach a verdict and they want the guilty punished. That's what this judgment is about. And so he says in verse 2, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." The way you judge, that's the standard that is used. And if whatever the standard is that you use, that's the standard that God will use in dealing with you. And so Jesus is making a point that the way, your standard of how you deal with others is going to be God's standard with you. And so you and I need to learn how God operates. We need to learn what God is doing on His side. And, you know, a lot of times, people within the church, and you know, that's going to be the application to you and me. A lot of times, people are quick to condemn somebody. They're quick to pass a judgment. I don't like the way they did this. I don't like the way this was gone about. And then they pronounce a sentence. And the sentence pronouncing is it's wrong, they're wrong, and then they take a bad attitude toward them. That's the judgment we're talking about. That's the standard. You're looking at people. You're wanting to pronounce a judgment. You don't like what they say. You don't like what they did. And now you've got them guilty and you've got a bad attitude on top of it. There's your standard of judgment. You're not really interested in helping, but you're real good at condemning. That's what Jesus is dealing with. You and I, be careful. He says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Keep this mark and come over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Show you a few things and to give us some insight to God and how He's dealing with us. Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, he has the parable of the sower. I'm not interested tonight in the parable, But look at the conclusion that he comes about in this parable. Look down at verse 20. Look at 23. He says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Are you listening? Are you listening? He says, take care what you listen to. Whatever you're allowing to influence your thoughts, whatever you're allowing to influence your judgments, whatever you're allowing to use as your standard of measure, he says it's affecting your standard of measure when you listen to things. And so that's why he ends up saying, take care what you listen to. Why? By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given besides. See, you make a standard. You're listening. That becomes your standard. And now, that's going to be the standard measured to you. And whatever that standard is, you're going to get more back. Boy, that really makes it real important that you, what you listen to has drastic effects in your life. And you and I, we need to be careful. Look at verse 25. He says, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. God measures you by what standard you use. And whatever standard you use, that's the way God's going to give your life. And he said, if you've got more, you know, if you've taken God in, if you're careful with the Word of God, and that's what you're listening to, guess what? You're going to get an abundant more of things. But at the same time, if the Word of God is not what you're interested in, you're interested in someone else's talk, you're interested in someone else's standard, you're interested in someone else's idea, then you know what? You're about to lose some things from God. It's the way God operates. You and I need to be careful with that. You're setting a standard by whatever it is you hear. And so Jesus is making the application of this sower. You remember the sower going out to sow seed? Well, they're hearing things, but they're not holding to certain things. And God's saying, by the way you're acting, by the way you're reacting to what you hear, that's the standard God's using back. And it could be costing you spiritual things taken away, or it could be adding spiritual things to your life. God's in control of this thing, and he's basing it on your and my standards. Well, knowing that, come on over, if you would, to Luke 6. Let me give you another application of why it's important for the standard. Luke chapter 6. One verse, but one simple application. You know, here's how God measures his standard toward you by the standard that you use. Look at verse 38. Principle of giving. He says, give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Now there's a major one. How many of us think about our giving? I mean, do you ever think of the standard that you use to determine when you make an offering to the Lord? We don't talk about this much. We're always trying to talk about the offering, you know, from this point or that point. You know what Jesus is using it for? You learn to give. You learn to give, and the Lord's going to take the standard that you use to determine your giving. That's the standard he's going to use to measure things back to you. You want them pressed down? You want them running over, overflowing, you know, into your lap? You want God to use that kind of standard with you? Yes, I do. Then you learn how to use the standard to determine the proper way in which you make your offering, in which you give. These are huge principles, brethren, that God uses to determine things about me and about you. And you need to understand that every time, whatever it is you hear out there, what you're listening to, you're arriving at a standard from that. And you could be losing things spiritually, not even aware, because you have a wrong standard. You're using a wrong measure. Or whenever you give, you're not giving from a heart. You're not giving from a standard and saying, you know, this is what I'm using to determine things by. And God said, that's the one I measure back to you. You and I determine that. We need to know that. And so when you think of those things, and if you come back to Matthew 7, when it comes to judging, it's the same principle. The standard that you use is the standard God uses on you. He says in verse 2 again, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." If you're a person that is harsh and critical, that's the standard God will use back on you. That's the way you determine things. Well, he expands this attitude in verse 3. He says, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" Now, what is he talking about? What's he talking about, this log, this beam in yours? He's talking about you being honest with God. And when we talk about being honest with God, we're talking about that you are examining yourself in light of God's standard. He said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye?" Why are you so examining of other people that you are looking for wrong? You're looking for things to be amiss in someone's life. I mean, you ever been around somebody that's all they seem to do is find fault with everything? Well, you know what? That's the standard of measure that's being used on you. And the problem with fault finders is they never look at their own faults and their own failures. They can't see what sticks out, what beams out of their life that are amiss. But boy, they sure don't let anyone else get by with anything. And boy, they are looking, they're inspecting, they're seeing. And he says, "Why do you do that? Is this your standard of measure? That you are ready to punish somebody else, but you don't want to be punished? Oh no, not me. I'm not wrong." Is that what we're dealing with here? Well, look at verse 4 as we continue. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold the log that is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." What's his point? If you're serious about using the proper standard of judgment, learn how to help people. Learn how to help people. "Let me take the speck out of your eye, and I'm not even interested in making changes in my life." That's a standard that'll cost you and condemn you. He calls it in verse 5, "You're a hypocrite. you're a hypocrite. Whenever you can deal with things in your own life, and he says, take the log out of your eye first, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You know, sometimes in the church, when people are quick to condemn others, and they're upset about something, and boy, they start pointing, and they start condemning, and you know what we do? We listen to them. We listen to them. And you know what happens? You start taking up their standard of judgment. Oh, they really did that? Yeah, they did. And they just went about it this way, and they were just this and that. And you know, now they've got you upset. And now you're taking on that standard. You're not interested in helping your brother. You're only interested in condemning your brother. And that has nothing to do with what God wants. God doesn't want His people destroyed. No. He never wants that. Ezekiel 18:23, you know one of the greatest teachings there is that God takes no pleasure in the loss of a soul, but He'd rather see people turn and live. That's the attitude of God. God wants people saved. And especially when we're talking about in the church, He wants people saved. And if you and I are going to help the church move forward, you have to have the interest to help people out of their sinfulness. And that means I've got to be interested to make sure I'm not trapped in that same sinfulness. And so as you look at yourself, it helps you, in light of God, to start looking how to help someone else that's in trouble. Notice again in verse 5, he says, you hypocrites, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You see, the problems come in with judging is when we jump to condemn somebody and we don't even lift a finger to help them. Now that is a horrible standard of judgment. Yeah, we're ready to condemn them. But what are you doing to help? Oh, I'm not doing anything. Well, you know what? You got a beam sticking out of your eye with that attitude. You are just as wrong with that, and you're not interested in helping them at all. Keep it, Mark. We'll come back. Come over to Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. I want one verse here to make a principle, and we'll come right back. Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 1. In Galatians 6:1, he said, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Do you know sometimes people in Jesus get trapped in sin? Even the best. Even the best. Sin's not partial. Sometimes brethren gets caught. That caught there is not, aha, I caught you. It's being trapped by sin. And now they're having a hard time getting out of it. And we start spouting off in the church, you need to go out and see them. You need to go take care of them. That's not what Paul taught the churches of Galatia. When you have someone trapped in sin, you know what you need? He says, you who are spiritual, they need somebody that's spiritual. You don't need a judger going out there that's ready to condemn. Do you? What if you've got a person that's hot-headed and that flies off the handle? Is that the kind of person that we need to go out to try to restore somebody? What if there's some words exchanged and you're hot-headed and they're hot-headed? I mean, what's the potential here? Well, sometimes people get caught in trespasses. And he said, you who are spiritual to restore such a one, he says, in a spirit of gentleness. Why would you do it that way? Well, you no good, rotten, low down person, you know. You ought to know better than that. You got this, you know. Wait a minute. They're trapped. They need help out. They don't need condemnation. Guess what they need? A spirit of gentleness. And in the process, looking, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. There's looking at the beam. Yeah. You got to be careful that you don't get drug over into the realm of being trapped yourself by some other means. And so you and I have to be careful by the standard that we use and what we're trying to accomplish in the church. And we need to understand not everybody should be going to people, despite what the church wants to teach at times. The spiritual. Well, knowing that, come back to Matthew 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, sometimes in the church, you've got to make a judgment. You've got to make a judgment call in situations. Sometimes in the church, you've got to make a judgment, and we got to call sin, sin. We got to call wrong, wrong. And when you call sin, sin, when you call wrong, wrong, and you have to deal with it, you have to deal with it with the right motive. You have to deal with it with the intent that I'm going to try to help and not condemn. I can't tell you how many times I've noticed over the many years where, again, someone gets upset. They pass a judgment on another member. When they pass that judgment, they have this bad attitude. They won't talk to them. There is your standard of judgment. You're not interested in helping them get to the Lord. If my brother or my sister is in sin and you know they've done something wrong and you're ready to call sin, sin, help them. Don't stand around and start chattering about them to other people. And other people, don't listen to someone that chatters, because take care what you listen to, because you'll pick up on their standard. And now that's the standard God begins to use on you. Well, verse 6 is that standard. Verse 6 is a judgment that you have to make. You can judge, and you have to. Here's how. Verse 6. "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Whoa. You got to know when you're dealing with this kind of a person. I mean, he calls them dogs. Paul says the same thing in Philippians 3. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Why, you think, boy, there's a harsh judgment. You have to realize that sometimes there are people, no matter how bad, how much you want to help them, you can't do one thing for them because of their attitude. You can't do anything. And when you think about swine, he says, "Do not throw your pearls before the swine." I mean, what do you think swine do? Swine doesn't know the value of something. You cast pearls to a swine, or you put pearls around the neck of a swine, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to get them dirty. They're going to corrupt them. They're going to do anything. They'll tear them up. See, they don't understand value. And when you talk about the dogs, he says, That the dogs will do what? They'll turn and tear you to pieces. That's what they do. They're ready to pounce on you. And so when you talk about judging, You have to make these distinguishments that sometimes people are so corrupted, they don't like. They don't know how to value the things. Sometimes people have no idea about the holiness of God, and not everyone can be helped, even if you want to help them. Sometimes you can't do it. You and I need to know that. There's a judgment you have to make. Jesus did it too. Hold this one. Come over to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'll give you a quick illustration. We'll come back and conclude. Matthew chapter 15. You know, Jesus makes a distinction. Disciples are making distinctions. Look down at verse 23. There's this Canaanite woman. She comes, she's crying out for help from Jesus. Her daughter is sick. And she comes crying, and she's asking Jesus to have mercy. She's an outsider. She's not part of the household of Israel. Now, look at 23. But he did not answer her a word. Jesus is silent when she cries out, "Help me." Now, notice what his disciples do. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." Now, notice what their standard is. This woman's getting on our nerves. Get rid of her. So all she's doing is running around shouting, "Oh, help me, be merciful," you know. Well, look at verse 24. But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus knows his purpose. He wasn't sent to the Gentile world. He didn't come to the Gentile world at this time, to the lost sheep of Israel. 25. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now notice her attitude. "Please help me." 26. And he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, what in the world is he calling her? Well, that's a harsh judgment. I didn't come to the world, to the lost world. I came to the lost sheep of Israel. You don't take holy things and bread and throw it to dogs. You know what she knows? She knows she's a dog as far as spiritual matters go. Look at verse 27. But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which falls from their master's table." Wow. Even the dogs, they get the crumbs. She knows it. She admits it to Jesus. Sometimes, you know, you and I have to make a distinction. And that distinction is made through a judgment. Some people need help and they want help. Some people need help and they don't want it. And you've got to make a judgment. Am I throwing things holy to people that don't understand holiness nor care about holiness? Am I throwing things to people that are vicious and they're just going to turn and tear you to pieces? That's not wise either. You have to make judgments. But her attitude, she says, "I know I'm a dog, Jesus. I realize who I am. But even dogs get crumbs." What's she telling Jesus? "Will you just let me have a crumb? That's all I want. Just a crumb. Help me." 28. Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. She's humble. She's willing, And even though she wasn't of the lost sheep of Israel, Jesus reached out and helped. Here you go. I'll give you some spiritual food. Your daughter gets healed because Jesus sees faith in her. You and I need to be careful. To say that we cannot judge is a false statement. To say that we can judge, then be careful of what you listen to of your standard of judgment. Make sure the standard is what God wants you to have as a standard, and make sure that whatever you pass a judgment on somebody, it's not a judgment to condemn them and throw them out into the cold and put them down and to walk all over them and to have a bad attitude toward them. It should be an attitude, I want to try to help. And then you've got to make a distinction. Am I spinning my wheels here? I spent about 6 months studying with a lady. Very, very lovely lady. She was aged. And I'd go over, me and another individual would go over, we would spend once a week with her in intense Bible study. I finally got to see it. Little statements she would make. You know what? She wasn't interested in being saved than Adolf Hitler. Now that's a rather drastic comparison. But I finally saw it. And I had to tell the individual that was with me, we are wasting our time coming here because she doesn't know the value of holy things, and she's never torn us to pieces. But she doesn't know the value of holy things. So I determined the last time we were going to come and study with her, and we were going to let her know this was the last time. She helped end it for us. I didn't have to say much. And she told me, if I didn't know any better, I think you're trying to convert me, aren't you? And I said, convert you to what? She said, you've given a standard of what you call truth. I don't believe it. That ended it. You have to make judgments. You can make judgments. Just be careful of the standard that you use to make the judgments, because that's the standard that will be put from God to you. Jesus wants people saved. He doesn't want people condemned. But there's sometimes people in the church, they don't want people saved. They want people condemned, and that's why they chatter about them behind their back. And that's why they take on a bad attitude. And so you got to be careful listening to that stuff, because it will destroy you, because you will take up their standard. And it's going to be measured to you and given back more than what you gave.